This is a work of the Durham Church of Christ. Visit our website at durhamcoc.com.
Matthew 5 and verse 7, Jesus states, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." When one recognizes how merciful God has been in his life, then one ought to be provoked to extend mercy upon others. We understand that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. We understand that God, however, sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. God sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, Matthew 5 and verse 45. So even though man is deserving of death, God continues to be merciful, that is, withholding punishment, and continues to be gracious in that he continues to give that which is undeserved. God is doing so, and upon one recognizing the mercy of God upon his own life, it ought to provoke him to be merciful unto others. We notice and think about the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18. Parable that Jesus explains starting in verse 23 regarding a servant that comes to a king and recognizes that he is not able to pay what is due. And he pleads with him and says, "Have patience with me and I will pay thee all." Verse 26. "And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.'" Doesn't that sound familiar? Well, that's exactly what that servant just did to his master. And now one of his servants is doing it to him, and how does he respond? "And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt." And it's interesting, when we study this parable, the amount that the servant who was forgiven of the debt owed a great amount more than the amount that his servant owed him. So he was forgiven a great debt, but yet he was not willing to forgive a much smaller debt that was owed to him. We need to understand that God has been merciful to us. And if we seek to obtain the mercy of God when it comes to our eternal judgment, when we seek the forgiveness of God via the blood of Christ, we then ought to be provoked to be merciful unto others. Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Ephesians, you've been forgiven. You folks at Ephesus, you have been forgiven. Therefore, that ought to provoke you to forgive one another. Don't you realize that when you sought the forgiveness of God, when you sought the mercy of God when it came to you and your eternal destination, that God forgave you when you were obedient unto Him and confessed and were willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins, that He graciously then forgave you, was merciful unto you. So then when one seeks for your forgiveness, you ought to forgive them. He says something very similar to the Colossae brethren in Colossians chapter 3. In verse 13, he writes, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." How often do we think like that? No, when someone does us wrong, we immediately think, they better fix it. They better make it right. And then when they try to seek our forgiveness, rather than being so willing to forgive them and just forget it, to never bring it up again, we want to hold on to it. We want to make them do as much as they possibly can to somehow gain our acceptance once again. But that's not what the Lord has done for us. The Lord has so graciously given us a plan by which we can be forgiven. a simple plan to salvation, a simple pathway of light where we have the continual cleansing of the blood of Christ. If we just walk in that plan, if we just live by the words of Christ, we then have forgiveness. But yet sometimes we want to make the forgiveness that others seek on our behalf so difficult. And then even if we are willing to give it, we don't really give it. We still hold on to it. We still hold a grudge. We still think about it and consider it in every interaction we have with that individual. That's not true forgiveness. We understand that the forgiveness God bestows upon us is a forgiveness in which He will never bring to remembrance ever again the sins that we've committed. We understand, as the Hebrews writer explains for us in Hebrews chapter 8, we see in verse 12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Folks, if we're going to continue to hold a grudge, if we're going to continue to remember something that someone has done wrong to us after they've sought our forgiveness, we have not truly forgiven them. We must be willing to never bring it up again. Doesn't mean that certain actions don't have consequences. It doesn't mean that certain things done to us doesn't require certain things to be considered when decisions are made. But it means we don't hold it over their heads ever again. We don't continue to bring it to their remembrance over and over again. Remember when you did this. Remember when you did that. That's not forgiveness. And folks, if we don't want God to bring to remembrance all that we've ever done, and I certainly don't, then we ought to learn how to forgive one another. Jesus states, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy."